It's time to talk about parenting. Parenting with a story. You know, you would tell your kids a bedtime story, perhaps, or maybe a story of something from your childhood, if you want to share something, if they don't roll your eyes, depending on the age of the child at that point. But what about parenting with a story to help them learn? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today with Paul Smith. He's a popular keynote speaker and corporate trainer, using storytelling, I guess, in the business world, now moving it into the family. He is a former executive of a 20-year veteran at the Procter & Gamble Company and lives in Cincinnati. And I apologize. My condolences for your Cincinnati Bengals is about the way things are going. I don't know if you're a transplant.
Yeah, you had to rub that in.
Well, I just always have to bring that up. Opportunity like that. But I suppose you could tell stories about trials and tribulations of trying to win and succeed and failing and not always happening. And that's some of the things you can bring. Let's talk about your book you have called Parenting with a Story. What brought you to take something that I guess you've used as a sort of a training tool in the corporate world and bring it into the household?
Yeah, you know, actually the idea occurred to me really during the writing of that first book. As I was putting together all these leadership stories, I'd interviewed 100 or so CEOs and executives all over the world looking for their best lessons in leadership. And as I was sharing those stories, I had a consistent set of feedback people gave me, and that was, gosh, some of these stories I really could use at home, not just at work. And that's when it really occurred to me the similarities between leading a team of people at work and leading your children. Because in both cases, you're trying to help people grow and develop and get on the right path and be successful in life and, you know, et cetera. And so sharing stories is often a better way to lead them than just wagging your finger at them and bossing them around. So that kind of led me off on the path of, well, let me go interview another 100 people, but this time not business executives, but just normal people all over the world. I think I ended up with people from 20 different countries around the world and all walks of life. And instead of asking them about their greatest, you know, lessons in leadership, I was asking them about their greatest life lessons. You know, what are those unexpected moments of clarity in life where you learned a really usually tough life lesson the hard way because you made a mistake or something, but then that taught you a life lesson that was worthy of passing on to the next generation.
So in other words, you had to listen to a lot of people's stories to put this book together.
Yeah, definitely. I interviewed over 100 people and probably documented 800 or 900 different stories, and I had to pick the best 101 to put into the book, of course, but that made for a great set of life lessons.
Talk about how we would utilize this book then within our family.
Yeah, so I mean, you could read a story a night to your kids, or tell a story a night to your kids, like a lot of us do bedtime stories. But I think the best way to use it is more opportunistically, like when you see your child struggling with something or needing an intervention. And so at any point where you normally would be handing out platitudes to your kids, like, you know, you shouldn't talk to people behind your back, or you should mind your manners, or, you know, look both ways before you cross the street, or be kind to a stranger, instead of just telling them what to do, which in my experience as a parent really doesn't work that often, instead share a story with them that will teach them about somebody else who did the same thing and suffered, you know, the natural consequences of that, or did something right and enjoyed the natural consequences of that. So I advocate kind of saving them until you've got that right moment to share.
So in other words, you'll have a chance to read the book, kind of absorb some of the stories. I would assume most of them are kind of short stories, because nobody wants the Shaggy Dog story
exactly.
To try to prove a point.
All of them are like one to two pages long. They're designed to be told in about 2 to 3 minutes, and they cover things like ambition and creativity and courage and integrity and, you know, hard work and perseverance. You know, those kind of character traits that I think we all want our kids to have. And those are all things about character traits about who they become as people. But there's also chapters on character traits about how they treat other people. So things like kindness and patience and fairness and humility. You know, again, if you were to put together a list of the 20 character traits you think kids should grow up with, they're likely to be on this list.
Can you share a story with us or give us an essence of one of them? Is that possible?
Yeah, sure. You know, I'll tell you one of my favorites about a guy named Chad Hymas in Utah that 20-some-odd years ago when he was in high school, he was on the basketball team, and all of his basketball buddies were at his house one night. And it's not unusual for a bunch of teenage boys to sit around and talk about a girl, but that particular night they were talking about a very special girl, and she was a girl that had spent, you know, she was in a wheelchair. She had a number of very physical, visible disabilities. She was in a wheelchair. She was blind. Her arms were somewhat deformed and didn't work well, and she couldn't speak. So she talked through one of those computer synthesizers, kind of like Stephen Hawking does. And they were, you know, just basically making fun of her like teenage boys do, and his dad overheard them. Well, the next day at school, dad shows up in the cafeteria unannounced, walks right up to the table where he's sitting with all of his basketball buddies and said, "Son, where's the girl?" And he was just mortified, of course, and said, "Oh, Dad, don't embarrass me. I'm really sorry for how we talked about, you know, that girl last night," because Dad had overheard them, obviously. And he said, "I need you and all the boys to get up right now and follow me and take me to the table where she's eating lunch." So they, of course, reluctantly did so, and he sat down and he asked this girl four questions that just radically changed how they think about how they treat other people. He asked the girl, he said, "Who's your best friend?" And she had to type out her answers, because remember, she can't speak, so she slowly types out her answers on this keyboard to get this voice synthesizer to work. And her answer was, "My mom, Stacy," which, of course, just, you know, blew them away. Like, how many teenage girls would count their mom as their best friend? It really speaks more about her lack of friends at school. The second question was, "What does your dad do for a living?" Her answer was, "I don't know who my daddy is." The third question was, "How long have you been in a wheelchair?" And she types out, "My whole life." And then the last question, he said, was, "What do you dream of and love to do the most?" And she writes out, "I love listening to the girls cheer for the basketball team." And that was his son's basketball team. So here, now, if you can imagine, if these boys didn't have any remorse and regret, you know, up to that point, they certainly did then. They just realized this girl's dream, what she loved to do the most, was listening to the cheerleaders cheer them on in their basketball game. So you have to imagine how differently somebody would behave around other people once they'd learned that kind of a lesson.
And the thing with these stories, and I think you've also talked to us in teaching the corporate world, we seem to digest and absorb these stories more than if you just said, "Don't do something," or "You better act better," or something. It kind of, it gives a humanity to these issues, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also, it lets you learn for yourself a little bit. I mean, experience has always been the best teacher, of course. So those, you know, Chad and his high school teammates learned that lesson better than anybody else. But now that you've heard the story and you can empathize with how they must have felt at the time, and it's almost like you're living through the event yourself. So experience is the best teacher. A story is a close second. And everything else, including just telling people what to do, even if they're your kids, I think is a very distant third.
We're talking today with Paul Smith, the author of Parenting with a Story. Taps into the power of storytelling for teaching kids. How can you make yourself a better storyteller? I think sometimes there's a knack. There's a little bit of a talent to it. Or do you believe anybody could tell a story?
Well, I think yes to both things you said. Yes, I think there is a knack and a talent to it, and some people are kind of born with that gift and some people are not, just like musical ability. But I do believe that you can learn it. In fact, that's much of what my first book, Lead with a Story, was about, was to teach people how to be better storytellers. But the biggest barrier I find to people not telling more stories is that they just don't have enough stories to tell. I mean, I think most of us have one or two or three really powerful life lessons that we've learned that make for a great story. You know, Chad Hymas's story that I just shared would be an example for Chad. You've got two or three, I've got two or three, other people have two or three, but we don't have nearly enough to teach our kids all the things that we need to teach them in life. And that was really the purpose of the book, was to interview enough people that I could put together in between, you know, two covers, 100 such great life lessons that will become your arsenal of stories to go to when you need to teach your kids lessons.
You see the categories like creativity, curiosity, forgiveness, self-discipline. You interviewed people all over the world. Why did you go all over the world? What is it about a global stories that maybe would make it interesting from, I guess, crossing cultures? What did you find from that?
Yeah, well, two things. I mean, the purpose of it, obviously, was I wanted it to appeal to a broad audience. You know, I didn't want it just to be stories from, you know, some small southern state or here in the Midwest or whatever. I wanted it to appeal to a broad audience. But the thing that I learned from it is that people all over the world struggle often with the same type of things. And we end up having the same set of character traits that we want our kids to have and that we aspire to ourselves. I mean, this list that you and I just talked about, You know, I think you could put that into just about any country and culture in the world, and most everybody would say, yeah, I want my kid to grow up with those kind of character traits. So that was an interesting learning for me.
Do you verify all these stories as being true, 100% true? As a story goes, many times our memory and what we get, I guess maybe that's what makes it a story. We believe most of this has happened. Names have changed, incidents, you know, kind of, it's been condensed, edited to create some sort of a powerful message. But
right. Well, I mean, so what I will tell you is I interviewed the people that these happened to. So all these people I interviewed, I was asking for their life stories, not
the friend of the friend.
Yeah,
right?
Not something I heard from somebody who heard from somebody.
Got it.
So I'm interviewing the people that it actually happened to.
Right.
So as good as their memory is as good as the veracity of my stories are.
I assume you like listening to stories as much as telling them.
Well, sure.
Because it's one of those things that also allows the person to connect in a different way that maybe you don't find it. The book is called Parenting with a Story. Where can they get the book? It's out there everywhere, I guess?
Yeah, I think it launched officially yesterday, so it should be in most places near your listeners, but you can always get it online at Amazon's or Barnes & Noble, or they can actually get it signed copy directly from my website at leadwithastory.com.
Now, how do your family embrace your storytelling? Or do they like, not that story again? Or,
I mean... you know what? I've got a couple of kids myself, and my youngest, Benjamin, he's 9 years old. Every night he asks me for another story. And, you know, when he was younger and my older kid was younger, and before I'd started writing books with these short stories, they didn't ask me that. But now they know that I've got all these great stories and that they actually learn from them. They actually ask me to tell them stories now, which normally doesn't happen with that. What was that type of story you said that nobody wants to hear?
Oh, the Shaggy Dog?
Yeah, you know, everybody's got those bad, long, boring stories.
Sure.
You know, nobody's going to ask you for those. But if you've got a collection of great stories, they'll ask.
Have you had any encounters where you think, hey, my 9-year-old's now telling a story to one of his friends, or at least kind of, you know, utilizing this technique to kind of even deal with his peers? I suppose that's going out there somewhere, too.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they've started sharing these stories, but they've definitely started learning from them. And they come home and tell me, hey, Dad, I did this today because of that story you told me. And that's really the reaction that a parent wants. I want you to behave differently as a result of these stories. Now, when he's 20 years from now, when he's got his own kids, I want him telling these stories. But today, I want him, you know, responding to them in kind and changing his behavior based on them.
Building those qualities that we all hope that our children will somehow develop. And we sometimes wonder, where did they get that quality, you know,
exactly.
A positive quality. But it's a good book. It's called Parenting with a Story. Our guest today, Paul Smith. Paul, thanks for sharing the stories with us today. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.